It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Rodgers going for it all, looking to bring it open. He's got it! Lazard! Gonna go! Touchdown!
Rodgers snaps it quick, scrambles to his right, pumps and runs. Aaron Rodgers is inside the pylon.
Allen has time. Intercepted! Sauce Gardner's got it. Breaking away, Garrett Wilson. Wilson, a big play downfield. Allen tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning, 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast, number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And we're going to talk about the OTA that went down here on this Tuesday with our friend who covers the Jets for the New York Daily News, Antoine Staley. Antoine, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, nice to be with you.
So, Antoine, let's start with what happened on the field. And we'll begin with Aaron Rodgers. Looks like he had some nice passes out there today. He was wowing people with his arm. Yesterday, we all saw the big throw downfield, and that's the kind of arm talent that we really just haven't seen on a consistent basis here. Obviously, Darnold had his moments. Dak Wilson had his moments. Those guys have big arms, and they can make big plays, but in terms of being able to put it together consistently, Aaron Rodgers giving us a little bit of a preview yesterday, and then today, he had some nice completions to Garrett Wilson. I expect we're going to see a lot of that during the regular season. His old friend, Allen Lazard, and even Travis Dye, who you profiled in the Daily News. So talk a little bit about what we saw overall from Aaron Rodgers today and some of the complimentary pieces.
Well, he didn't practice and he didn't participate in 11-on-11. So it was just kind of 7-on-7 drills and just kind of, it wasn't a lot of them. I think he participated, I think it was like 3 of them he participated in. He was, you know, sharp on a few of them, and then, you know, one red zone possession, like not so much, but it was a few drops and, you know, some miscommunication there. So nothing really to worry about. But yeah, I mean, you know what you're getting out of Aaron Rodgers at this point of his career or any point of his career. You get one of the best quarterbacks of all time and somebody that I think is really, you know, is going to solidify their offense, and I think he's going to make other people better. And obviously, you know, Garrett, you know, had some big numbers last year. I expect those numbers to kind of go up, and we know what he's done with Allen Lazard and their chemistry too as well. And, you know, I think, like I say, having him is just going to make, you know, all the pieces around them better.
Antoine, like you said, Aaron Rodgers only participated in the 7-on-7s in practice today, but Zach Wilson did the 7-on-7s and the 11-on-11s. In the 7-on-7s, he was sharp. In the 11-on-11s, not so much.
Yes, I mean, that's kind of, Zach has just been kind of inconsistent at times throughout camp, but, you know, I think we've come to expect that from him at times. I think the first OTA practice that we saw, he was, you know, pretty sharp. That was his best one I've seen so far, and then last week, not so much. He kind of struggled there with a few passes there. This week, at least Tuesday, it was kind of hit or miss. It was some possessions. He was really good. And then other ones, not so much too. So, but yeah, you definitely see, you know, you hope you'll continue to see growth from him because, you know, God forbid anything happens to Aaron Rodgers, then, you know, obviously Zach's going to come in there and step up and be the guy. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, you just want to continue to see Zach Wilson get better and better.
Antoine, on the defensive side of the ball, everybody's been looking at Jermaine Johnson as a potential breakout candidate this coming year. We saw some flashes last year. He was particularly efficient in the run game. People hoping that he steps up as a pass rusher. And then you have Will McDonald, who has a ton of potential too. So really, ultimately, the hope is that Carl Lawson, who's in the last year of his deal, does well. But that you get Will McDonald and Jermaine Johnson to start gelling together, and that's your pass rush duo for the next bunch of years, especially the next few years when they're both on cheap rookie deals. It seems like Jermaine Johnson has started to make his presence felt a little bit. I know it was just a practice, not a big deal, but he had a nice splash play today.
Yeah, I mean, I thought last year he would have made more of a presence there. I just think the injury kind of, you know, limit him and kind of set him back there. I mean, obviously, we're talking about a guy that has a lot of talent, was once considered, you know, in that draft in 2022, possibly a top 10 player. And, you know, he slipped a little bit there. And like I said, I just feel like, you know, with the Jets rotation, you know, the amount of people that they have at at the rush end position, and the fact that he got hurt just kind of set him back there. But he looks in good condition this year. I think he's, you know, primed to have a much better year than he did last year. What that looks like in terms of numbers, I'm not necessarily sure, because that's also going to be determined with how the Jets use their rotation of, you know, of ends, which they have an abundance of them. But I definitely think he'll have a much bigger, you know, say about what happens defensively this upcoming year. And obviously, yeah, you want him to be eventually, you know, the starter. And I think he will be eventually, maybe not this year, but, you know, I definitely think he'll start to see some signs and start to notice him a little bit more.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Breece Hall didn't participate in practice, but he was doing some workouts on the far field, an encouraging sign. We've heard over and over again, the Jets expect Breece Hall to be ready for week number one, and it's nice to see him continue to progress.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see how he pans out there. I don't know if he'll be, you know, participate in training camp, or at least not right away. I definitely can see him being placed on the physically unable to perform the list to start out the year potentially. But yeah, I definitely think they want to take it slow with him. I mean, he's a running back coming off a major ACL injury, really his first major injury of his career. And, you know, I profiled it that, you know, running backs tend to, you know, get off to a slow start when they come off ACL injuries. I mean, the best two examples of running backs that had successful seasons happened over 10 years ago with Jamal Charles and Adrian Peterson in the same year in 2012. So it's going to be hard to – I know the expectation is for Breece Hall to come back and have a really tremendous year, but, you know, I think you might see him start to show signs maybe towards the latter part of the year as opposed to early on in the season.
Antoine, with that said about Breece Hall, we know the Jets drafted Israel Abanikanda, and they have both Bam Knight and Michael Carter, but there have been rumors circulating that the Jets are very interested in Dalvin Cook, the running back from the Minnesota Vikings. Now, he's not quite what he used to be, which is part of the reason that Minnesota might be looking to move on. What do we know about the Jets' level of interest here? Is it something where they'd just be dipping their toe in the water? Or if Dalvin Cook becomes a free agent, would the Jets really go hard after him, knowing that Breece Hall might be on a strict pitch count to start the season and maybe not being all that confident in the other running backs they have?
I haven't heard anything. I saw the Twitter, but I saw the tweet about it, but I have no idea who that is. So that's about all I have to say about it. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I haven't heard anything about it. But, you know, if he does become a free agent, then, you know, of course, I imagine the Jets, like any other team, would do their due diligence. But, you know, I think they're fine. I think they're pretty happy with the running backs that they have.
Antoine, before we move on to the pressers, anything else from practice that you observe that you think is worth mentioning that we haven't talked about yet?
Today, not necessarily. I mean, it's not. I mean, OTA is really just to kind of give people a, you know, a lens of kind of what happens goes through OTAs. I mean, obviously, it's no pads or anything like that. It's a lot of, you know, positional drills. It's a lot of, you know, special team stuff and some other stuff I can't necessarily talk about, at least publicly anyway. But, you know, and then you have the 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a whole lot. Like it will be a training camp where it's a little bit more, obviously, a more intense than pressure-packed situation where you'll see a lot more 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 drills. Right now, I think, you know, it's just about, you know, kind of teaching the offense and get the players comfortable heading into the summer.
Antoine, let's go past the practice now and talk about what was said both before and after practice. Before practice, head coach Robert Salas spoke. He made some news. Now, these are things that aren't going to be shocking to people in terms of what he thinks of the Quinnen Williams situation, what's going on with Mekhi Becton and Dwayne Brown. Also, an announcement in terms of mandatory minicamp, which was supposed to happen next week. I emphasize the word supposed to happen. I'll let you get into what that means. Talk a little bit about what was said, because, again, there was some news here from Robert Salas, but if you've been paying attention for a while, it's nothing super surprising.
Yeah, I guess, you know, first off, it's not going to be any mandatory minicamp next week. I mean, they really, you know, they've been in camp since April, most of the players, and, you know, I don't think they necessarily need another week of OTAs because they would be at a disadvantage if they did have OTAs next week, simply because they're starting training camp a week earlier than everybody else outside of the Browns, who they're playing in the Hall of Fame game. So it makes sense why they wouldn't, you know, have mandatory minicamp. Some teams are having 7 weeks off, like the Dolphins. The Dolphins that have 7 weeks off between, you know, this week, which is mandatory minicamp for them, and, you know, the start of the, you know, training camp. So it's not really necessarily a big surprise that they would do that just to give players extra time, you know, to kind of just get their mind right for the regular season. As far as Quinn Williams, I mean, Robert Saleh just said that, you know, he expects, you know, a deal to get done. You know, it's not groundbreaking news. I mean, I think, you know, they would definitely tell you that whether or not a deal gets done or not, we'll see. But, you know, I actually profiled today in an article that, you know, had, you know, Quentin not showed up for mandatory minicamp, if they had it, he would have been subject to fines. Obviously, they don't have to worry about that now, but we'll see if they get something done in training camp. And if they don't, would they fine him in that instance? And the third thing is Dwayne Brown. I think some people might have been surprised that Robert Saleh said that, you know, it's going to be hard to knock him off that left tackle perch there. I mean, I think a lot of people knew that he was going to be, at least right now, going into training camp, the starter, you know, at left tackle. We'll see what happens, you know, there, you know, in training camp. But, you know, I think right now Dwayne Brown is his job to lose.
Antoine, let's talk about what was said after practice. We'll begin with Carl Lawson. A pretty bold proclamation from him in terms of what he expects out of himself this year. Talk a little bit about what we heard from Mr. Lawson.
Well, he just said that he wants double, you know, he believes he's going to get double-digit sacks. I mean, he's never had double-digit sacks in his career. Mm-hmm. He feels like he's healthy as he's ever been. And, you know, we'll see how that translates. I think the biggest thing for him would be, you know, just to kind of go back to what I said about the rotation, you know, at defensive end, it's a lot of guys there and it's a lot of people to feed at the rush end positions. And, you know, but Lawson feels like feels better. I guess it's the best he's ever felt since, you know, leaving college at Auburn in terms of injuries and things of that nature. So the Jets wanted to keep him around. They didn't have to, especially considering the log jam there. And they expect big things from him this upcoming year.
Another player that the Jets expect big things from, because he's the leader on that defense, is C.J. Mosley. This is a player who's coming off an all-pro season, and he's got big expectations, not just for himself, but for the team. He believes the team has a chance to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily surprising that somebody would say that out in public. I mean, I think you ask a lot of people on all the teams and around the league, they would probably say the same thing. It's the matter of, I think Robert Saleh said this, or it might have been Aaron Rodgers. They both might have said it. Like, it's probably about 8 teams that could win a Super Bowl. And then whether or not the Jets are one of them, we'll see. But, you know, they believe they're one of those teams that have a legit shot to win a Super Bowl this upcoming year. So, yeah, we'll see how that all plays out. Again, once you get into the play, if they can make the playoffs, anything can happen, especially when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers.
And apparently, Mosley's agent has spoken to the Jets about possibility of a restructure. Antoine, the Jets have restructured C.J. Mosley, it seems like, every couple of months for the last few years. So this would be interesting. I know he's due a hefty salary this year. But what I do wonder is, the Jets keep restructuring all these contracts. I know that they're trying to push a little bit of Aaron Rodgers' salary into this year. But you do have to wonder, if they keep restructuring all these deals and kicking the can down the road a little bit, why are they freeing up all this money, or at least attempting to? Is there a big move that they might be counting on happening? It's a question worth asking at this point.
It is an interesting, you know, thing to talk about too, as well, because, you know, obviously one of the linebacker spots there, I know a lot of people thought, you know, they would resign Quan Alexander. Obviously, that hasn't happened to this point. But, yeah, you never know what players might come available, whether it be, you know, before training camp or during training camp or trade or anything like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's all, I guess they figure it's better to have some move just in case a move like that or somebody might become available.
Yeah, because remember last year, Antoine, that A.J. Brown trade came pretty much out of nowhere to Philadelphia. Now, it obviously was earlier, was the day of the draft, but still, the Tyreek Hill trade seemed to come pretty much out of nowhere again, earlier than it is now. It was before the draft, but still, as we would say with Randy Orton with an RKO, it was more or less out of nowhere. So there could be irons in the fire there that nobody is aware of. Or, as you said, perhaps the Jets are just preparing in case a situation like that arises.
Yeah, you know, like you really never know what might happen in the future. So, yeah, I think they're just planning accordingly and, you know, taking it from there, basically.
Two other players talked after practice, and one of them was Solomon Thomas, who has been with Robert Saleh twice now, first with the 49ers and now with the Jets. What did he have to say?
He's definitely a guy that's, you know, a lot of people wonder why they brought him back. Basically, he's one of the leaders and, you know, the maintainers of the defensive room. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, he talked about, I know he did talk about that and just talk about what he thought, you know, the defense, you know, had the expectations of doing this upcoming year.
Finally, the last player that spoke today was Laken Tomlinson, the former Pro Bowler, had a very disappointing season last year, especially for the amount of money he was making. He's been with Robert Saleh more than once as well. Remember, he was a San Francisco 49er before he joined the New York Jets. What did Laken Tomlinson say today?
Basically, he just talked about being in awe of Aaron Rodgers and, you know, obviously kind of what C.J. Mosley talked about, just the expectation, you know, of the team and, you know, what they thought, you know, necessarily, he didn't necessarily say they were going to win a Super Bowl. He thought they could win a Super Bowl, but he just said that, you know, they had high expectations for themselves. And, you know, I think that's kind of a trend that a lot of players are saying just throughout the offseason and doing out OTAs. And, you know, again, we just got to see how it plays out on, you know, out there on the field. But I think this team is very confident, you know, heading into the summer and heading into training camp. And they're really optimistic for the first time in quite a while around there.
Antoine, what have you observed firsthand from being there and seeing these players around Aaron Rodgers and seeing Aaron Rodgers in a Jets uniform? Do the players seem to be in awe of Rodgers so far, or has that worn off a little bit? And is Rodgers as happy on the field in practice as people are leading everybody to believe? Because it almost feels like there's this crazy honeymoon period going on, and all Jets fans are hoping that it keeps up for as long as possible.
Anything's a novelty. I mean, eventually it wears off. But, you know, ultimately, yeah, I think to answer your question about him, I think, yeah, he's happy. I think he's, you know, it feels like a new start, fresh new start for him. And that gives him a new life and energy. And I think, you know, this change the scenery has rejuvenated him and really the organization. So I definitely think, you know, I don't think the players are necessary. I think they were probably when he first got there, they were involved. But, you know, I think now that they've gotten to know him and practice with him, and again, eventually that wears off and, you know, he just becomes another teammate, you know, out there on the field. And I think that's kind of what he is. And they know how good he is. They know how great he, you know, he's been, and, you know, the expectation that comes with, you know, having a guy like him.
Antoine, the Jets have one more OTA practice coming up on Friday. And then after that, you guys aren't going to see them practicing until training camp. What are some of the storylines that you're looking at the most intensely as we head into training camp, besides the obvious, which would be Aaron Rodgers?
Really, can the team live up the expectations? I mean, I think that's the biggest story for me. I don't think a lot of people have really touched on that. I think a lot of people expect the Jets to be good. But, you know, and I think they're a playoff team. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender, but I do think they're a playoff team. But we'll, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I definitely think, you know, what happens if they fail to live up to those expectations. And, you know, they're putting, you kind of test on that earlier, that, you know, they're kind of kicking the can down the road and obviously, you know, preparing for the here and now. But, you know, if things don't work out the correct way, then, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of changes there. But, yeah, I think they want the high expectations. They know it's going to be a target on their back. Having a guy like Aaron Rodgers, especially with the amount of media coverage that's going to come with it, especially in New York City and in New Jersey area. And they just know they have to, you know, live up to some of those expectations. Whether or not they get there, they reach the Super Bowl, you know, I don't think anybody necessarily knows, but I definitely think, you know, that's really the storyline I'm looking at. Can they live up to the billing? Because a lot of people expect big things from them. Otherwise, you wouldn't get six primetime games, especially, you know, considering the year that they had last year where the bottom just completely fell out from this team.
Jets fans everywhere are hoping that the team represents well on national television this year, especially since, as you said, Antoine, six primetime games. That's what happens when you get Aaron Rodgers and the expectations go through the roof. The Jets now have the responsibility of trying to live up to what everybody keeps talking about, and we'll see where that goes. But of course, the first step will be training camp. That will happen after the final OTA, which we will talk about later this week. Antoine Staley, thanks so much for coming on and talking about today's OTA with me. Really appreciate it. For those that want to check out your work in the Daily News, you've got lots of stuff going on. That feature on Travis Dye a couple of weeks ago was really good. What do you have cooking right now, and what are you going to be working on as we get ready for training camp coming up?
I'm going to be working on vacation. Yeah, you're not going to hear much from me after Friday, but I will detail the practice, and I'll have a column just kind of wrapping things up, and that's really about it as far as work for me until training camp starts.
Make sure you check out everything Antoine's got going on at the Daily News until he goes on vacation. At that point, just let the man be. Let him enjoy his vacation. But in the meantime, check out his work over at the Daily News and follow him on Twitter as well. Check out everything we're doing over at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. We've got some awesome All-22 breakdowns on our channel. So watch those videos and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already, YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies. It's all there, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.